Okay, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this meeting and giving me the opportunity to talk about the recent work that we have done with Matthias Alivian. I'm going to talk about hybrid and point robust regression with sensor data. First, I'm going to recall some properties of the Kaplan-Meier estimator of the distribution function that will be important for what is going to follow. Okay, we're going to suppose first we have just a sample y1, yn from a distribution f. So then we observe y star I, the minimum between yi and ci. Typically, the yi's are surviving times. Okay, in that case, the empirical distribution of the data is a biased estimator of the distribution. But you know that one way to solve this problem is by using the Kaplan-Meier estimate, f star n. Okay, this is a non-parametric estimate of the distribution function of the data. Okay, we are going to use a property that is called the set of consistency property of this estimator that was first found by Efron several years ago. One characterization of the Kaplan-Meier estimate is this self-consistency property that consists of the following thing. Suppose that we divide the observations, the n observations, the observed observations, y star 1, y star n, in two parts. The u's are the non-sensor observations, which suppose that are capital I, and the sensor observations that are capital J. Okay, then the idea of the Kaplan-Meier is under the empirical distribution, all the observations has probability 1 over n, okay? In the Kaplan estimate, the support of the Kaplan-Meier distribution is just the non-sensor observation. Therefore, the mass of all the sensor observation is assigned to the observations, to the UIs, okay? But suppose that we have a sensor observation Bj, then the mass 1 over n is distributed between the points Bj, ui greater than Bj, because we know that the real value that we don't observe is something greater than the observed value Bj. And the way that these probabilities are assigned, we are going to call Pi the probability of the ui, okay, that corresponds to ui, is in a self-consistency way. The part of the sensor observation J that goes to the non-sensor observation I is proportional to the probability to the final probability of the observation I. Therefore, we have, of course, each non-sensor observation continue to have mass 1 over n. This is PII. Then the total probability assigned to the non-sensor observation PI is 1 over n plus all the probabilities of the sensor observations that are assigned to this observation, to the UI. This characterization shows two drawbacks of the Kaplan-Meier estimate. The first drawback is that suppose we have some sensor observations that are greater than the largest non-sensor observation. Therefore, this observation, suppose that m of this observation is m, then this observation cannot be assigned to any other one because there are not non-sensor observations larger. Therefore, when we sum the probabilities assigned the sum of all the probabilities of the Kaplan-Meier is going to be less than 1. Okay, there is a mass that goes that is after the last sensor observation that is not known. The second problem has to do with robustness. Suppose now that we have k large non-sensor outliers, okay? And suppose that they are the last ones, the last one non-sensor observations. Then ui minus k plus 1 up to ui. These are the largest non-sensor observations. Okay. If we use the empirical distribution, the mass assigned to this outlier is k over n, over the total number of observations. But the Kaplan-Meier is going to assign more probability. Why? Because part of the sensor observation is going to go to these outliers. Okay. The worst case, which is the worst case? The worst case is when the only non-sensor observations that are greater than all the sensor observations are the outliers. In that case, the mass assigned to the outlier is the mass k over n is the k over n of the outlier plus the mass j over n corresponding to all the sensor observations. Of course, this is a not very frequent case, but it's the worst thing that may happen from the point of the robustness to the Kaplan-Meier estimate. Therefore, for example, if we have we can define a consistent estimate of the median of the distribution using the median of the Kaplan-Meier estimator. Of course, the median when we don't have censorship, it has been 0.15. Here it's going to be less than that. And how much is going to depend how many sensor observations are and where are these sensors located. Therefore, if we have j sensor observations, the smallest breakdown point that may have the median is 1/2 minus j over n. Okay, this is just an introduction to the Kaplan-Meier estimate. Now we are going to go to look at the regression model. Okay, we are going to assume that we have the usual linear regression model. The y is a collinear combination of the x. We have p independent variables, and the u are the errors, and there are a y censorship. Okay, instead of observing yi, the result of this model, we observe the minimum between y and the censor time ci. Okay, we are going to call delta I is going to be an indicator if the observation was sensor or was not sensor. Okay, delta I equal 1 means that the observation was not sensor. Delta I equal 0 means that it's sensor. Okay, when we don't have a censorship, when they are not censoring, then the important class of robust estimate for regression model are the class of M estimate. It's the first large class robust estimator, and many others like S estimator can be thought as M estimators too. Okay. The M estimator, they are defined minimizing some raw function of the residuals. Okay, instead of using the square function as the least square, we use another function that increases slowly. Okay? For example, a bounded function. Okay, that is the same that minimizing the expectation with respect to the empirical distribution of the residuals of the raw of u. This is the classical M estimator when we don't have censorship. Of course, differentiating this expression, we get the usual estimating equation for the M estimators. Okay, this is psi of the residuals time the vector of regressors equals 0, and also can be can be expressed as the expectation with respect to the joint distribution of the empirical joint distribution of the residuals and the x, okay, equals zero, of this expression psi times x. Okay. When we have censorship, these estimators are not going to be consistent. Why? Because the empirical distribution is not going to be a consistent estimator of the distribution of the residual, as we have seen before. Then we have to do something to obtain consistent estimators. Okay, this was widely studied, and the idea is very simple. One idea that goes to many researchers is just instead replacing, okay, when the usual M estimator, we minimize the sum of the row of the residuals, okay? okay, if we don't observe the real residual, what we observe in reality is the sensor residual, which is instead of y minus bx is y star minus bx. Okay, then we replace the non-observed value by the conditional expectation with respect to the observed information. The observed information is going to be is going to be the sensor residual and the status variable that says if the observation was sensor or was not sensor. Okay, this is a quick, okay. What would mean that can be also expressed as the expectation with respect to the distribution of the residuals of both of you given the information that we have. The information that we have is just the sensor residual and the status variable that says if the observation was sensor or was not sensor. Okay. this expectation, this conditional expectation, well, how is going to be to the row of R star when there is not censorship, and in the case that there is censorship, is just okay. It's just, well, it's the expression. It's the integral of row of u between the sensor and infinity with respect to the residual distribution divided the probability that one residual is greater than the observed value R star. Okay, this is what okay, the same with the estimating equation. In the estimating equation, the same. We can do the same thing. In the estimating equation, we can do the same thing. Okay, we can replace the psi of r times the psi of r of ri, well, that is not observed, by the expected value given the information, and to make this equal zero. That is the same that the expectation with respect to the distribution of the residuals of C of U conditional to the observed information times x psi equals zero. But of course, to do this, it's necessary to know the distribution of the residuals. Distribution of the residual f of theta is not generally known. Then we have to estimate that. Okay? How can we estimate the distribution of the residuals? Well, one way is to consider the sensor residuals y star minus beta prime x and to apply and to compute the Kaplan-Meier estimate. That is a consistent estimate that is supposed to be a consistent estimate of the distribution of the residual. However, one condition for the Kaplan-Meier to be a consistent estimate is that the sensor times are independent of the real values of the variable, and these residuals are going to be independent on the sensor times that are Ci minus beta prime xi only when beta is the true value. Okay. Then when beta is different of the true value, this the Kaplan mean is not going to give a consistent estimate of the distribution of the residuals. This is a problem. Therefore, therefore, the consistency of the Kaplan-Meier estimator of the distribution of the residual is only guaranteed under the true value, not for different values. Then, one way the first way that we fix the n estimator was to replace here to replace the value of the observed values of both by the conditional expectations. This is not going to give a consistent estimator because the minimum is going to depend on the distributions of all the Kaplan-Meier estimates of the distribution of the residual. Okay, and we know that the only value of beta for which this is consistent is a true value. Then maybe another value of beta for which this expression gives asymptotically a value smaller than for the true value. Instead, when we use the Kaplan-Meier distribution in the estimating equation, that is going to be okay. That is going to be okay. Why is going to be okay? It's going to be okay, but when beta is equal to beta zero, this is going to be consistent, and then the equation is going to be satisfied. Then the true value is going to satisfy the value that solves this equation is going to be a consistent estimator. But the problem is the following: this is okay. This proposal to define M estimators for sensor data using this equation was first proposed by Vitov in the year 1990 and further studied for many authors, among them Lee and Jin, in 1994. However, there is a problem, a serious problem. This makes sense only when psi is a monotone function. It does not make sense when psi is a descending function. Why is that? Okay, when psi is a monotone, this is going to have typically just one solution. Therefore, the solution of this equation is well defined, but not for the descending. There may be many solutions of this equation, and there is not any criteria because we don't have a function that we are minimizing to determine which of these critical points, to say something, is the real the one that we are the one that we are searching for. Then we okay, but what is that? Well, okay, then that makes sense only as it is here only for monotone psi. But M estimators with monotone psi are not robust. Are robust only in special cases where the outliers are low leverage. But for high leverage points, the breakdown point of this estimator is zero. Therefore, it's not a real robust high breakdown point estimate. Well, if the breakdown point is zero. It's not robust really, except when you have a control x, for example, for fixed design. For fixed design, this M estimator makes sense. They are going to be robust. Okay. For example, for when x are qualitative variables. Okay, then we have to try to give sense to the M estimator when the psi is the descending. That's part of my talk today. Okay, how to define the M estimators when psi is a descending function. Okay. The idea is the following. The idea we have is the following. We consider a fixed value of beta. and we consider the residuals are I of beta. Okay, and we are going to take this as the variable y, and we are going to try to fit the model not to the y's but to the residuals for with fixed beta. Okay. Now the residuals are, when we use gamma as the estimator of this model, of this linear model, the residuals are going to be this. They are going to be the residual minus gamma times x for each, and we have to look for the optimal value of gamma using the M estimator criterion. Therefore, we can do the following. We are going to define now for each beta and for each gamma, we are going to define this. Okay? And we are here, we use the Kaplan-Meier estimator corresponding to beta, okay? Independently, which gamma are we using here? We are not using the Kaplan-Meier estimator of this residual. We are using the Kaplan-Meier distribution function corresponding to the residuals corresponding to beta. Beta is fixed, and then I look for the gamma minimizing this expression. Okay, this is the definition of gamma, eta, of beta. This is the M estimator corresponding to the residuals Ri of beta. Okay. Since when beta equals beta zero, the Kaplan-Meier is going to be a consistent estimate of beta, okay? For this residual, for the residual corresponding to beta zero, the solution is going to tend to zero. It's going to tend to zero. Therefore, one way to define the M estimator is by this equation. We look for gamma n of beta equals zero. Okay? This is not so simple, because for each beta, gamma n beta comes from a minimization process. Okay, then we have, for each beta, we have a minimization process, and then we have to solve a question. It's quite complex from the computational point of view. But we are going to see that there are algorithms that are quite fast to do that, even if the aspect seems quite difficult. Okay. Well, now we are going to add some additional problems. We are going to consider additional problems. Of course, the analysis that we have done until now is not a scale equivariant, just to simplify the presentation, but we need a scale S to normalize the residuals in order to get a scale, okay? And of course, in order to get a scale of the residuals, we need the previous estimate, okay? Then the idea is to try to replace, instead of using M estimator that needs residuals, we can try to use an estimator that does not require a scale, like S estimator, that the scale is obtained simultaneously. Okay. Then using the same ideas, we are going to try to define S estimators for sensor observations, okay? In the same way that before, okay? We fix beta, and we for each beta, we consider the residuals, and we consider the Meyer Kaplan estimate of the residuals, and we, for each gamma, we define the scale corresponding to this fit, for which y? The y is just the residual corresponding to beta. Then we have S of beta gamma, and we define for each beta the argument which minimizes S n of beta gamma. This is an S estimator of the residuals corresponding to beta. And then a consistent estimate of the true value of beta zero is going to be obtained making gamma n of beta equal zero. And now we are going to have a consistent estimate, and that is also a scale equivariant. Of course, we can use as law for the S estimator, the jump function, and this is, in this case we have a sensor version of the least median of a square. This gives also the least consistent estimate analogous to the least median of a square for sensor observations. Of course, that once we have the S estimator is not going to be efficient if we want that simultaneously has hybrid on point. Okay, then once we have the S estimator, we can use an M estimator, consider another function that gives a more efficient estimator and use it as a scale, the scale of the S estimator. We can also use another kind of scale. Instead of using an M scale, we can use a tau scale that simultaneously have the property of hybrid on point and high efficiency under normality. 5 minutes. Okay? Okay. Okay, well... I know we're going to have time to talk about. I have many other things to talk, but since the time is almost gone, therefore I'm not going to talk about the algorithm that is interesting in itself because it's a very efficient algorithm. But maybe in the computational symposium I can talk about that. and now then I'm going to present some simulation results. The Monte Carlo study. Okay, we use a very simple regression model that with intercept and with the slope and intercept. We have 100 observations, and the errors are normal 0, 1, the x they are normal 0, 1, 2. The sensoring times are also normal, with mean 1 and variance 1. This gives a probability of sensoring of 32%, and are quite a lot of sensor observations. We consider the least median square estimator, analogous to the least median for the sensor version, the least median of a square version for sensor data, the tau estimate using a tau scale, L1 estimate, which is an M estimate with psi equal to the sine function, and a GM estimator that penalizes is an M estimator with psi 1 equal, is an L1 estimator, but with weights that penalize high leverage observations. We take a psi 1, a psi 2, the sine function. This is what is called the Mudd-Brown estimate. That is, maybe considered the most robust GM estimator. It's very down point, it's 25%, but here it's going to be less than that because of the problem that we considered before. We have 30% of outliers, then it may have much smaller than that. We consider outliers mass concentrated in the same point, okay, and concentrated in concentrated in point of the form x naught, m times x naught, m is the slope of the outlier, and we take two values of x0, a low leverage 1 and a high leverage 10, and the value of the slope goes between 2 to 5, the alpha is equal to 1.5, the true value, and beta is equal to 0. I told that before, and we think with steps of 0.5. And we also have the
We report the median square error, the mean square error. We report for all the estimators the mean square error.
Okay. These are the results for beta. The results for alpha are analogous. I didn't bring it, but are completely analogous. This is the case. The first case is the case of high leverage. In this case, this least median of a square, the tau estimator that gives this is the efficiency with respect to this is the efficiency with respect to the least square estimator for when there is not outliers. And instead, these are the mean square errors when there are outliers with a slope 2 up to 5. Okay, and we see that the least median of a square and the tau estimator that give mean square errors, we can say similar. There are some difference, but there is not a general pattern. Instead, the L1 breaks down. The GM is much worse. To tell the truth, what happened in reality is that there are for some replication the result is okay, but for some other replication it breaks down completely. This is a kind of average, okay? And how it breaks down depends on the configuration of the sensor observations, because this gives that are related, as I told before, to the breakdown point of the Kaplan-Meier estimate. Okay. But instead for normal errors, the tau estimator is much more efficient than the least mean square. For here I have the results for a low leverage outlier, and in that case the tau estimator is almost always better than the least mean of a square, and the L1 is as is known, when there are not leverage outliers, gives also very good results. But in the case of high leverage, it breaks down. Well, this is all that I can say today.
Any question for Professor Yochai? Yes, David.
Wait a moment. I'm going to go closer.
Fixed censoring points.
Excuse me?
The censoring that you're looking at in your work, is it fixed censoring or is it random censoring?
It's a random sensor.
It's always random.
A random sensor, yes, because it's a random sensor, yes. Okay.